Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. My guest today is here to talk about a very serious subject, and that is a critical need for blood supply. My guest today is Tessie Amaranto. She's the executive director of the American Red Cross Chestnut Ridge and Allegheny Mountains chapter. Welcome to the show, Tessie.
Thank you, Jen. Thanks for having me.
I am happy to do it. I'm glad that a spot opened up so we could get this critical message out very, very quickly. You are in a blood emergency right now. Can you explain to people what that means and how something like this happens?
Sure. We have generally see a blood shortage in the summer. That is unfortunately just kind of the way of things happen because people go on vacation and kids are home from school and schedules get turned upside down. And we usually anticipate that. But what we were not able to anticipate this year was the extreme weather that has been happening all across the country. There have been significant heat waves. Not to mention, the amount of tornadoes, the tropical storm and Hurricane Debby, Hurricane Beryl that have come through in recent weeks and months. And so there we have seen cancellations of nearly 60 blood drives throughout the country, and approximately 1,500 life-saving blood products have gone uncollected. But we are, and that impacts about, when you add those all together, that's impacting about 90,000 blood donations made to the Red Cross. And here in Pennsylvania, I think really it drives it home when we've seen 680 blood drives canceled in the last 10 years, and we've had 35 canceled so far this year. So we're about short 900 donations in Pennsylvania in 2024.
Wow. And tell us what happens after the blood is collected. Take us through the process, and then where does it end up?
Absolutely. Blood is one of those things, Jen, that I kind of thought about it at one point, and I'm like, we can make up so many things. We have become so advanced as a society. We can, we have AI and all these great things, and we can do all these great things, but there is no substitution for blood. There is only one source of blood and blood products, and that's volunteer donors. That's it. It's you and I and everyone who's listening. So when I thought about that one day, it was very kind of eye-opening because I'm like, huh, of all the things we can do, and yet this remains that we are the only source of this life-saving blood and blood products. So once you make a donation, your donation lasts about an hour is what they say from the time you walk in to the time you leave. All of that blood is then packaged and taken back. Our blood here goes back to Johnstown, which is our manufacturing and collection center, and then it is run through a barrage of testing to make sure that it's safe. I will not even begin to get into it because I do not even begin to know all of the tests that it goes through. Safe to say it follows every FDA regulation that is out there. So they run through all of their tests and they will separate it into different products. There's red cells, there's platelets, there's plasma, and all of those different pieces or parts of the blood can be used for different life-saving measures. Platelets are very important for, can be used for cancer patients, plasma, for different reasons. So they separate those out and then they send them out to the hospitals that need those units. And we do supply all of the hospitals in Westmoreland County. So once it runs through everything, it basically gets picked up by volunteer blood drivers who pack the vans with our product and then deliver it to the hospitals locally who then put it on the shelves, for whatever they need it for. And I think the reason it sounds like it would be, oh, great, everybody can give and the shelves are full. However, it has a shelf life. Whole blood is only good for, I'm sorry, red cells are only good for 5 days. And at the end of 5 days, we have to, throw those away. Sorry, I just gave you the wrong number. That was platelets are only good for 5 days. Red cells are good for 42 days. My apologies. I get
Still,
my numbers.
the point is that the donations have an expiration date. And
They
so
do.
there's never a point where you have enough because it's going to expire, whether it's 5 days or 42 days or whatever it is. You still always need more.
Yes, that is correct.
Wow. And There can be times when if there's a critical emergency at a hospital, they might not have enough. I mean, then they have to appeal, I guess, to other hospitals or have a blood drive, right?
That is correct. They will, there have been times when the Red Cross has just not had the blood. We haven't gotten to that point yet, but we're very close to being able to not fulfill the demands of the hospitals because they tell us how much they need and for what. But we will reach that critical level where they will need the blood or the blood products, and we will. They just won't be available, which then can begin having an impact on elective surgery and different things, because obviously they're going to keep that blood supply for traumas and, the main, emergencies. So we really want to make sure we don't get to that point. So that is why we just have to continually ask our donors to continually come back out and just make those donations so we can keep the shelf and keep the cycle going so that nobody has to be turned away and that we always, the hospitals always have whatever blood they need for everybody and anyone who needs it.
As I understand it, you're supplying 40% of the nation's blood right now. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. We do supply
Wow.
40%.
That's a tremendously large amount, and that's a large and complex organization. So, can you tell us a little bit more about the American Red Cross sort of nationally? What's the big picture look like in terms of where's the headquarters? How many different chapters are there, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. So American Red Cross is a national organization with our headquarters sitting in Washington, D.C. And we do have chapters all across the country. What I will focus on a little bit more is more about here in Pennsylvania. We have the entire state, except for five counties around Philadelphia, is in a region. We call it the Greater Pennsylvania Region. And in that region, there are six chapters. And each chapter is kind of like a unit where we have a minimal staff because we are 90% volunteer driven, but we have a group of dedicated volunteers and staff who cover that particular geographical area. For the Chestnut Ridge and Allegheny Mountains, it's 10 counties. So we have a group of folks and volunteers who are focused on making sure these 10 counties have what they need. But the great part of being part of a bigger region, the greater PA region, is if something happens, a disaster, anything happens in our area, in our 10 counties that we do not have the capacity, whether our volunteers have gone south to help with a hurricane or have been deployed, or for whatever reason, we have the rest of the state to be able to call upon their staff, their volunteers, and say, hey, we need help here. So it's fantastic that we can focus on our area and make sure the services are getting delivered. But should we need help, they're just, a county away. So the system of having these regions that work together as a grouping, but yet having someone solely focused on our communities here, in the counties that I serve, it really is a win-win, for everyone.
It's a wonderful organization. I mean, so much. So we've been talking about blood and the emergency blood supply situation, asking people to donate if they can. So where would they go to find out where a local blood drive is? How could they find that information?
The best way to do that is to go online to www.redcrossblood.org, type in your zip code, and then you can choose whether you want to go 10 miles, 25 miles, how far you want to go. And then you can type in a date range, and it will bring up every available blood appointment in that particular time frame. And I always, some people have said to me, oh, well, I'm going on vacation next week. The great thing about that is I'm like, well, that's fantastic. Wherever you're going, just type in that zip code because I bet there's a blood drive somewhere where you're going. So
That's right. You're not going to
there's
get out
that,
of it.
I usually don't let people get out of it by saying
That's
they're
right.
going to visit the in-laws or do whatever because you can type in every zip code. And then it will list, all the different things that are going, all the different blood drives. And one of the best things we've started doing, and I highly recommend, is to make an appointment, and you can do that right online. What that does is that allows you to get it in and out quicker. It speeds up the process because, let's face it, today we are all short on time. And I've heard people say, I don't have time to give blood. Well, if you have an hour, you have time. And by registering and fulfilling, doing all your appointment online, that just ensures that most times you're going to get in and out in under an hour. I've seen people get in and out in less time than that, but I don't. We try to give people, set aside an hour. Or you can call 1-800 Red Cross and they can do the same thing for you. But we highly encourage everyone to make an appointment. We also have an app that you can download for our blood program. It's called Rapid Pass, RapidPass. I say the great part a lot. Obviously, I love this organization, but the really neat thing about that is once you donate blood and you download Rapid Pass, you get to track your blood from the day you donate it. You see where it ends up. So you can literally see if your blood ended up in Ohio or at a hospital locally. And I've had so many donors tell me what a huge impact that has on them to be able to see their phone and to know my blood, I donated here and it went and it did all its things and it ended up helping somebody, in Minnesota or Ohio or Pennsylvania, Latrobe, Greensburg, wherever. They have told me that's an unbelievable feeling to know they can see where their blood went and what a difference. It's not just a, I gave blood, I'm done. It's, wow, I can see where my blood went, and I know that it had an impact on somebody else's life.
It's wonderful. Take us through who can donate and who should maybe consider volunteering or making a different kind of donation.
Sure. We recommend, let me find my notes. Anyone over the age of, we say 17 in relatively good health, can donate. And let me say, can donate. Let me put it that way. There's a lot of eligibility questions, and the best way to get those answered, if you want to check before you go, is again to go online. And I know everything now is online, right? But they're going to give you online at the same website, redcrossblood.org. They'll walk you through and have a lot of different FAQs that walk you through, what maybe it's medications. Restrictions have on donating blood have changed a lot lately. There have been a lot of changes. So it used to be if you had been overseas and there was something, with mad cow disease, which for years eliminated certain donors, but that has been changed. So we recommend you go online. And again, if you don't want to go online, you can absolutely call 1-800 Red Cross and speak to someone, talk to them about your concerns, about your medications, where you've been, and they'll walk you through any eligibility questions that they have before you go if you don't want to go and find out there. So, it's always worth checking it out because it has changed a lot lately. So we encourage everyone, even if before they said, no, you can't donate, no, you can't donate, things have changed so much. So we really do recommend give it a chance. If you took that, you gave it a try once and weren't able to for a few years, check into it again, because we really do need to refill and restock the products.
There are some common reasons why some people can't donate. Do you want to walk through those?
Sure. Low iron is one. If you're not feeling well, if you have a cold or a cough, they're not going to want you to donate. Obviously, if you've been diagnosed with any sort of illness, it could be COVID, could be a sign, any type of infection, they're going to defer you, which is when you show, we ask you to come back at a different time. Those are the ones that I know about. I'm not going to really try and go too much deeper because, again, there are so many variables in it. We have specialists who spend, all of their time focusing on that. And I would hate to give, say something and somebody's like, oh, well, she said, and, I ended up saying something and somebody thought they were disqualified and they were not. So I really do encourage you to check it out for sure because That way it's confidential, and it's just, there's so many different reasons. But most people that I've seen, I've been to many blood drives. The biggest reason I've seen people turned away, they look at me and they say my iron was low. That is truly what I see the most when people come to the drive. And they don't know that, obviously, until they walk through the door and get tested. So there's really no way to know that. But everything else can be answered before you get there.
And I see a really big, I've seen the kind of myth busting going on. I don't know if it's the Red Cross or who's doing it, but about tattoos, because people think if you have a tattoo, you can't give blood. And there's a lot of myth busting going on around that.
Yes, and again, that was one of those things that used to be, if you had tattoos, that you were turned away. Or I believe it used to be like a 1 year, you had to wait a year. Last I had looked, I had actually looked that up for somebody, and I believe they actually do ask you to wait 3 months before you attempt to give. But again, I would ask that you just double check that with our website, or with our phone, by calling and checking. But I do remember specifically looking at that because I was like, huh, because I specifically remember that one. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's changed. And obviously for just different reasons, they do ask you to wait 3 months. But again, that's a huge change, 9 months less than you used to have to wait. So absolutely.
Yes. So I really appreciate all of your input so far. Tessie has been a great, great speaker about the American Red Cross and what has been happening with the blood supply. And I think that that's critical for people to understand that these summer storms complicate the already critical need during the summer months because of vacations and changes in schedules. And so this is a great opportunity for people to jump on the American Red Cross website. Take a look and see where a local blood drive is and give of their time, which is really, really important. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about Tessie.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. I'm here today with Tessie Amaranto. She's the executive director of the American Red Cross Chestnut Ridge Blood Emergency. And according to the American Red Cross, they continue to experience emergency blood shortages, asking the public to give their time to give as soon as possible because life-saving medical care could be impacted. Now, this happens when severe weather hits the country, especially remnants of Hurricane Debby. This means cancellations of dozens and dozens of blood drives, and that makes it harder and harder for the blood supply to recover. If you remember earlier in the show, she told us that blood is finite. It expires. It's not something that they can keep for years and years and years. So it's really a critical need to get out there and do that. So I understand you're trying to spread the word, Tessie. I know you're very busy. We appreciate you doing that, talking to people, encouraging them to get out. I know all your communications people are working hard as well. You told them to jump on the website, look for how you can donate. You've talked to us about who can donate, maybe who should take a back seat to all that. But I think what we have to remember today is that the American Red Cross is not just focused on blood supply. You have many other critical missions to the community. So when severe weather hits, you're there too. Tell us a little bit about your emergency response sector.
Absolutely. And I could, as you could have seen already, I could talk for years about what we do. But, probably our second biggest thing that the Red Cross is known for is our response to disaster. When you see the news, of course, you think of the Red Cross when you see the large storms, the Hurricane Debby, which just impacted a large portion of our very own state. Our neighboring county, Indiana, had significant flooding, and then, of course, to the north. But our biggest threat is a single family or multifamily fire that happened, almost nightly somewhere in Pennsylvania and multiple times a day. So that is our biggest response. So although we don't see the large hurricanes normally every day, coming in and causing as much havoc, we are responding to our volunteers are responding to fires, like I said, daily. And our response with that is to make sure that these individuals who've suffered this, catastrophic loss, have somewhere to go and their immediate needs are met and that they're not alone. We take it very seriously. We are I liked when I talked about to people, we're kind of the what's next. As you're standing there, unfortunately, sometimes just watching everything you've worked for and it's gone. And, you know, and after the first responders do what they do best is they drive away and you're just standing there going, what, you know, everything is just, you don't know what to do. That's where our volunteers are right behind you with a blanket, usually a comfort kit, and are like, it's okay. We got you. And let us help you, begin to walk through the steps to recovery. So, that is what we do, honestly, the most. And it's from volunteers. It's just one of the most amazing things to watch these volunteers give up their time and go out to give, you know, to help somebody else during their darkest moments, Jen.
Tell us about how the volunteer process works, because the way I understand it, you take volunteers in every sector. You don't just have to be a nurse or a doctor or an EMT or anything like that, right? You use all strengths, all specialties.
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up. That is another one of those things that, you know, I will have folks who are like, well, I don't, you know, they can come up with different excuses. And I always say the Red Cross has something for everybody. We have, of course, some of our frontline opportunities are the folks that respond to disasters. You know, they get the phone call at 3 a.m., jump out of bed and go where they need to go. We have other volunteers who prefer to come into our office. We have one in Greensburg, we have one in Johnstown, and they like to help us with data entry or that's their thing. We have some who will go out and do preparedness education for kids in the schools, and they absolutely love doing that. We have some folks, volunteers, who prefer to work with our military, our veterans. That's another line of the work we do. You can work at a blood drive if you're just not one of those people. You're like, or you just can't donate. We're always looking for volunteers to be at the blood drives to help those who are donating, to greet them with a smile and make sure they have a good experience. So there are so many different opportunities, and you know, whether you can give an hour or whether you can give 40 hours, it's entirely up to you as a volunteer. But there is something for everyone, and we are always looking for more people, you know, to jump in and see where you fit, because there is nothing better, I think, than going home at night and knowing that something that you did in some little way helped somebody else. It's, you know, it's what I always called the warm and fuzzy. You know, find your warm and fuzzy, find that moment where you kind of just stop and can go, I made a difference today. And so many of the Red Cross opportunities, and I have people who work in the office and they're like, well, how did I make a difference? You know, so I'll go through this whole chain of events, but it all comes together because we all rely on each other, and everything we do is interconnected. So no matter what you volunteer for with the Red Cross, it does truly make a difference in somebody's life in some way.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful to hear. So let's talk about you a little bit. Where did you grow up? Let's talk about your education, and then we'll talk a little bit about your work history.
Sure. I actually grew up in Armstrong County in Apollo. So I didn't make it too far away, because I actually live in the same house I grew up in. So pretty much I'm local, have been local my whole life. Went to Apollo Ridge High School and then moved on and went to Clarion University.
So after Clarion, how do you get, I'm interested in the path to how you get to where you are today.
It was an interesting path. You know, I always say it's my second career, because I started my life in early childhood in a business and did all that and came to a point where I retired and then, you know, panicked, because I was like, I'm only, you know, very young and I still have to finish the rest of my career. So, ran across a very small ad for a job with the American Red Cross in Latrobe at that time, teaching first aid and CPR. And I'm like, well, I'm a teacher by trade. I had my elementary education degree. I can teach. Walked in very first day, met with five of the most amazing women I have ever met in my entire life. walked out, went home and said, I'm going to work there for the rest of my career. And last Thursday was 21 years later that I have been, all of them spent pretty much in the Westmoreland, Armstrong, Indiana, Fayette County area, doing numerous positions from teaching first aid CPR to fundraising. I've gone out in disaster calls. I've done, disaster to the last 5 years I have spent as the executive director of this particular area. So I was one of those they call lifers. And I knew the moment I walked in and met those individuals and learned so much from them and just had the most amazing feeling of camaraderie and what an organization to be a part of. And pretty much never walked away. So it's going to be here as long as they'll let me. But I'm just so proud to be part of this organization.
That is amazing. 21 years. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And I know you do it on a meager staff. How does that work with your two chapters? Who do you have?
For our 10 counties, we have five full-time people and two part-time folks who do that. And then, I think our total count is like 341 volunteers. And not everyone is active. So we probably have about 100 volunteers who are very, very active, who run our disaster programs and who are the leaders, because we rely on them to kind of help us. Because obviously, as the executive director, I can't be in 10 counties all at once. I certainly can't be at all the meetings. And I have volunteer partners and board of director members who go out and do things on my behalf. So it takes really everyone, because when you look at, we have a population of over 1 million people that we are trying to serve with, five full-time staff. So it takes a village, and that's why we're just so fortunate to have so many wonderful volunteers. And again, it goes back to the point where we're always looking for more volunteers to get involved and to really help us fulfill our mission and get out there and help those who need the help the most.
And there's also the matter of donations, because I was thinking about this earlier when you're talking about your sort of frontline response to emergencies, and you were talking about the blankets. Well, that costs money, and so does the food and everything else. So, I mean, you do need people to contribute as well, correct?
Absolutely. Thanks, Jen, for coming with that. That, of course, is obviously another big part. As I said, we're interconnected with everything we do, because all of our donations are given by the generous donations of the American people, corporations, foundations. We are not funded by the government. A lot of times individuals will see us, especially at the big disasters, anytime we'll just, Hurricane Harvey and, FEMA was there. They assume that the Red Cross, because we're with, we seem to be partnered with FEMA, we work a lot with them, that we're being funded by FEMA, and we are absolutely not receiving funding. We fundraise heavily for every dollar that we have that we are able to then put back into the mission, whether it's providing financial assistance, providing the food, purchasing the comfort kits, keeping our fleet running. Everything that we do, we fundraise for. And every time there's a natural, disaster or a bigger disaster, we get, obviously, because we're spending more money, they'll adjust kind of what they call a target adjustment. So then we're trying to raise even more money. But it's a continual need, just because we are always in need of those donations in order to be able to go out on the front line. But I think one of the most amazing things, well, I've said a lot about amazing things, is we're always going to be there. We don't wait to fundraise. We react. We're going to be on the scene. We're going to be there to help people. We're going to do all the things. And, 24 hours later, we're going to sit in the room and go, okay, how do we fund this? Because we are not going to wait, because, you can't wait for help. When you need us, we're going to respond, and then we'll fundraise and we'll get what we need to get in order to cover all of that. But we don't have to wait for fundraising. We're going to respond. We are in action. We are there. We are ready. We are waiting. And then we'll figure everything out on the back end. So,
Tessia Moreno, Executive Director of the American Red Cross, Chestnut Ridge and Allegheny Mountains Chapter. Thanks for being here on Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB.